Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Passion Podcast. It's Louis Giglio coming to you from, well, I'm going to let you decide where I'm coming to you from today. You get four choices. Are you ready to vote? I am coming to you today on the Passion Podcast from the lovely city of Dubai, UAE. That's option A. B, from Detroit, Michigan. C, Daytona Beach, Florida. Or D, Dar es Salaam, a lovely capital city and the beautiful continent of Africa. What's your vote? A, B, C, or D? If you know anything about my summer schedule, you know this is Beautiful Beaches Part 2. Coming to you from lovely Daytona Beach, Florida. And I've got to tell you, this has just got to be one of the great, great spots on earth. In fact, I have done the trifecta of great cities, great resort towns this summer. I have been to, obviously you guys know, we are home and back in the USA from our last world tour stop. The last place I think we talked was Hong Kong, and then a little bitty stop over in Shanghai, and now back in the USA, and so sorry for the big delay, but you know, it sort of works out that way sometimes when we're on the road. There's so much to talk about. We get home, back to our regular mundane lives, and things slow down a little bit, but this summer, as always, I've been able to make the rounds, and I know Kyiv's a beautiful city, London, England, fantastic place, Tokyo, Japan's incredible, Manila, always rocking and rolling in Manila, Hong Kong, beautiful city right on the bay, but come on, yeah, here's the summer trifecta 2010, is anybody with me? We've had a chance to make stops in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and I'm going to say that Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge, greater vicinity, because you don't want to leave Pigeon Forge out of that equation. Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, although we were in Gatlinburg proper. Enough said, not maybe my favorite place in the world. Gatlinburg, Tennessee, from there to Daytona Beach, no, from there to second great resort stop in America, Panama City Beach, Florida, and then from there to Daytona Beach, Florida. So we have hit them all. That's the top. I mean, you can have your Monaco and you can have the coast of Spain. We've got Gatlinburg for the mountains, Panama City for the Gulf, and Daytona Beach for the East Coast Atlantic. And I hope I don't get any letters from the Chamber of Commerce from any of those three places, but it's not the cities that brings you there. It's the faces of middle school and high school students, of teenagers, and the youth pastors and leaders that work with them. And I'm telling you, it's nothing. There's nothing like it, and there is nothing greater to me than being able to be in a room with thousands of high school and middle school students who let an old guy like me in the door, and to be able to challenge them to really put their lives in play in a big, big epic that's so much greater than all the little things we sweat every single day. So from Daytona Beach, Florida, we're coming to you again. It's been an incredible week here. I don't know if you're a long-term podcast listener, but if you are, you remember Beautiful Beaches Part 1 from last year. Cool story with that whole Calvary Baptist Church thing. And just here, again, seeing the church, it's catty corner to the Daytona Beach Convention Center where Chris and I and Matt Redmond have been doing camp with 6,200 teenagers. Just been absolutely insane. From the first moment, by the way, just tearing the place down, people coming with huge expectations. Been really, really exciting. And just catty corners, this little church, Calvary Baptist, was damaged by a hurricane here year or two back, struggling, kind of, you know, one of those little inner city type churches, if there's such a thing as the inner city of Daytona Beach, Florida, but old, you know, kind of that part of town's maybe not the best part of town anymore. People moved on to the suburbs, but the church is still there, and this pastor's wife, I think it was his birthday last year, and she just wrote me a note, said, will you encourage my husband He's the pastor of this little flock. We've been damaged by the hurricane. We need, you know, to make some repairs, and mean a lot to him if you just say something to him today. So I went out and found him in the crowd, and we talked about him on the podcast. And I encouraged you guys to go online to Calvary Baptist Church, Daytona Beach, Florida. It's the little white church on the corner, if they have a picture on the website, so you know that's the one I'm talking about. And to just write a note to these guys and say, man, you know what, I'm in Michigan or in Dubai, but I just want you to know that I heard the podcast, and man, way to go hanging in there and loving those kids. And hope to read for you at the end of the podcast a story of a girl who came with their group last year. Absolutely incredible story of this student, high school student, who shows up with the three kids they bring to Student Life Camp last year. But it was cool seeing all the kids at the camp, gave a big offering for their church to help them with their rebuilding. And one of the other groups from this year that's going to be a part of our podcast, group of incredible students from West Virginia, they've been having their meals up there at their little, I don't know what you call it, their little fellowship building or youth building or whatever it is. But anyway, just reminded me of last year. Great podcast, and got it to update you on a few things, a few restaurant options to update you on. I know Aunt Catfish was the big winner last year, but got a few updates for you on that front. Want to catch you up on what's going on with all of us. We're 6 weeks away from Sao Paulo, Brazil. So come on, all you crazy Brazilians. I want to hear something right now from you. We are 6 weeks away from Passion Sao Paulo, September 3rd and 4th at Credit Card Hall. And then just another 6 weeks after that, we'll be in Vancouver, British Columbia. And we are so excited about these next two stops. We had the privilege of being with 21,000 students in five cities on the first stops on the Passion World Tour. Just unbelievable. And when that dawned on me, I'm like, you know, that's how many people came to Passion 2010 in Atlanta. And we had that many people again in five cities around the world. Just, you know, unbelievable moments. And we believe that the seeds we've sown, in fact, we've been praying about that. Our little church core met this week, and we prayed for every one of those five cities, because it's not always about going somewhere. It's sometimes about having been somewhere. And we believe seeds went in the ground, and seeds are the future. In fact, I was reading Tozer this week, and he said, you know, the goal's not trees. The goal is fruit. And sometimes I think we're happy to have a bunch of trees, but at the end of the day, God wants fruit. And so we were praying that the seeds sown in those cities would flourish. I know there's been opposition. I know some people have been discouraged. Some of you listening to this podcast have tripped up, slipped up, and some of you have had great days. Some of you have had hard days. But I just want you to know we're still praying for you. We hadn't forgotten Kyiv. We hadn't forgotten London, Tokyo. Haven't forgotten you guys in Manila. How could we? Haven't forgotten Hong Kong. And we're still praying for you, still praying for what God did, and believing that there are seeds that are going to bear trees that are going to bear great fruit. And I can't see how anything else could happen when you believe in the God that we believe in, when you're powered by the Spirit that we're powered by, and when you do know that if our God is for us, who can be against us? So welcome back to the Passion Podcast. So glad you guys are back. We launched this little song at Passion 2010. You know, our team wrote a bunch of songs for this event, and we weren't thinking really much beyond Phillips and Georgia World Congress Center. But this song, Our God, written by Jonas Myhren, our good friend over in Sweden, and Matt Redman, and then Chris Tomlin and Jesse getting involved here on our side, and the four of these guys writing this song that just became such a big anthem for us at Passion 2010. And then, you know, it's obvious to me that it's not our song, but it's God's song. And the song went to radio. It's the first Passion single that ever really made a dent in radio in the United States. And not only did it go to radio, but it's been number one for four straight weeks in America. So turn it on Sirius or the local radio station here in Atlanta and hearing Our God. And it is the live version from Passion 2010. We pulled the crowd down a little bit because radio doesn't like apparently live songs, but we modified it slightly. But it's you guys singing. So if you were at Passion 2010, you're on the record, you're a part of it, and you're part of that song every time you hear it on the radio. And I just think it's God's way of affirming, this is the Word of God, it's Scripture. I want this song to go out to the whole world. And not only do we see it blow up in every city on the world tour, it's now being, you know, used by God to really encourage people around the world. And that little refrain just says, if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And I want to encourage you with that today. In fact, we're going to put that in here as a little bumper before we kick off into the podcast. And I just want you to crank up whatever you're listening to as loud as you can. And let that take you back to Passion Kyiv or Passion Hong Kong or Passion Atlanta or Student Life Daytona Beach, Florida, or Student Life Gatlinburg, or Worship Leader Conference Kansas City, where we just were, or one of Chris's concerts when he was out with Toby Mac, or maybe you've heard Brett Yonker do it at a camp, or Christian, or Matt, and one of his deals. And so just let it take you back to that moment and know you're surrounded by people who love the same God you love, who believe in the same gospel that has revolutionized your life, who care about the same world that your heart is breaking for today. And there's a big, big, big God who is orchestrating all this for His glory. So welcome back to the Passion Podcast. Welcome back to beautiful beaches. Welcome to Daytona Beach, Florida, one of the absolute stunning, beautiful gems of a beachside city in the world. And welcome back to our God. Here's a little bit of it to take you back and to lift you up today. And I'll be back with you guys in just a moment. Welcome back. I hope you're living in the reality of that today, and I hope that you know that God is for you wherever you are today. Coming to you from Daytona Beach, Florida, beautiful beaches, part two. If you remember last year, we talked a lot about section 208, and section 208 is just up in the corner of the Daytona Beach Convention Center. Beautiful facility, by the way, if you're looking for a place to host one of your events. I do think it's actually a pretty cool place, and I mentioned this, I hope, on the last podcast, but I was actually looking at an ad for the brand new Daytona Beach Convention Center in the back of I think it was Christianity Today magazine, somewhere back around 1995 summer, when I temporarily just lost track of where I was and had a vision that I don't know if it lasted for a second or a minute, but that vision was the spark for the whole Passion movement. And sure enough, I was looking at an ad. I think I remember it saying something like just 400 feet or 600 feet from the beach, some X number of square feet, beautiful state-of-the-art facility. So I guess that thing came to be around 1994, 1995, somewhere along in there. And so I feel a connection to that place. And even though Daytona Beach is, you know, it's home to Biker Week, and it's got NASCAR events just right there at the Daytona Motor Speedway, and it's still got a little bit of that vibe to it. It, in all seriousness, is one of the great venues, and to see it jam full of teenagers is pretty cool. But way up in the back, up on the second level, in the corner to the back left, if you're standing on the stage looking out, is Section 208. And last year, we talked a lot about Section 208, and interestingly enough, one of my friends, a guy named Brady Smith, who's a junior in high school, just a cool, heart, cool vision for what God can do in his town in West Virginia and his youth group. He had a charter bus full of people last year at Daytona Beach, and these guys went back to West Virginia, opened up a new youth room at their church, and actually named the youth room Section 208. The point was, and most of you guys remember this, no matter where you are, it doesn't matter if you're on the front row or the top left corner of the auditorium, God's presence is just the same right there as it is anywhere else. And some of you guys are feeling definitely Section 208 today, and you're not up close, you're not feeling like you're in the middle of the action, you don't think anybody sees or notices or recognizes you, you feel like maybe you got left out or forgotten or looked over, and you're not, because there is a great God, a great creator of the universe, and he doesn't dwell in the front row. He doesn't dwell in the praise pit. He doesn't dwell just on the platform, but he is with the brokenhearted, and it says in the scripture that he draws close to those who are brokenhearted. And this great God is near to those who are crushed in spirit. And so you could be forgotten or just wounded in a fog, in a cloud, in the darkness, just way out on the fringe of somewhere. Or you could be at some remote part of the world right now thinking, you know, everybody I know and love is 1,000 miles away or 10,000 miles away. And here I am out here and nobody knows where I am. But I'm telling you, God knows where you are. And we talked about this a lot in the last few weeks, and we talked about it at Daytona, that, you know, you might be on Patmos. That's where John was when he had the revelation of the heavens and of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and actually, you know, set in motion the writing of the last chapter of the book. And he was on Patmos. He was old. He was in his 90s probably. For the gospel, he'd been abandoned and exiled out to do hard labor in the quarries of Patmos. And maybe you're on a Patmos today, but you got to remember that being on Patmos doesn't stop God from fulfilling his purposes for your life. And being on Patmos doesn't stop God from allowing his presence to surround you right where you are. It says on the Lord's day that John was in the Spirit. So I doubt there was a worship team that day. I doubt he had an iPod on. I doubt he was rocking David Crowder's church music CD. He's just in a quarry on the Lord's Day at hard labor on an island in exile, and he hasn't seen his family or his friends for a really long time. That's the price he paid for being faithful to the resurrection of Jesus. And on the Lord's Day, he was in the Spirit. I love it. You don't have to have a great worship song to be in the Spirit. You don't have to have a great worship band to be in the Spirit. You don't have to be on the front row to be in the Spirit. You can be in Section 208 and still be in the Spirit. And you can be wherever you are right now and experience that same thing. So shout out to Brady and all these kids from West Virginia. And of course, I stay in touch with them a little bit through the year. And got word just at the end of June, just a heartbreaker email from Brady saying one of the girls in our youth group was killed tonight. A precious 15-year-old student named Alex Rickley was riding her bike to soccer practice, was hit by a car and died in West Virginia. And just broke my heart all over again here in Atlanta, Georgia, getting that news and knowing that these guys are headed to camp. And so as we got here to Daytona, I got a chance to meet up with Alex's family, and it's a really, 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 really special time for me. I talked in the morning about how, you know, God has purposes and plans, and sometimes what we pray for doesn't happen, but God always does a miracle. And talking about how God's goal for our lives is to be glorified in and through us, not necessarily that we live to be a certain age. That's nowhere in Scripture can you find that that's God's goal for your life. Jesus is the one we're following. He lived 33 years. And so where we got this idea that we're going to live 60, 70, 80, 90 years, it's not the point. The point is that we make Jesus famous in the days that we are on this planet, not how many days we can accumulate or protect or hoard to ourselves, but that we make him famous and that we stand before him and we go, I made you famous with my 20 years, with my 40 years, but my goal, my passion was to make you famous. And I actually had gotten a picture from Brady of me and Alex from camp last year, and I met up with Brady's group after one of the morning sessions and took pictures with a bunch of the folks in the group, and sure enough, Alex was one of the girls I'd met, and there was a great, beautiful picture of me and Alex just side stage Daytona Beach morning session last year, and I told a little bit of her story. I hadn't told her family, which I'm sorry, Rickley family, that I hadn't tipped you off, and I hadn't really said anything to the youth group from her church, but showed her picture of those 6,200 students and talked about her life and celebrated the fact that her smile is still smiling right now, that her life is still being lived right now. And after that session, I got to meet her brother, Andrew, who's going to be a senior, and I got to meet her dad, Bruce, and it's just a special time. And her dad had out of his bag, he pulled out a framed picture of the same picture that he didn't know I had, and he didn't know I was going to put on that screen that morning, but he'd brought a framed picture, and he'd written on it and signed it and had the dates of her life. And then he started telling me the story, and Andrew started telling me the story of how she had become a Christian at this camp last year, and how all year long, all she was talking about was getting back to Daytona. She was so excited to be a part of this camp. And just 3 weeks before, she went to see Jesus. And I just, you know, all I can tell you is that her life is making an impact today. I've not thought for 3 weeks about this camp without thinking about Alex. I hadn't prayed for this camp without praying through the lens of Alex and her family and her youth group. The first song Chris played on the very first night, all I could think about was knowing that Alex's brother and her dad were somewhere in this room of 6,200 people and praying, God, please let this song be healing in their hearts, and please let this song lift them up. Every word of every talk that I've prepared, every word that I've said standing on the stage, I've said thinking about Alex Rickley and thinking about 15 years of life and thinking about how to encourage other 15-year-olds in the room and how to encourage her dad and how to encourage her brother and her, the rest of her family back home. And so Alex has been she's been the voice for this whole week, and she's been the filter for this week. And her family is just amazing. And yes, they're broken, and there were a lot of tears shed when we met, and there's a whole lot of sorrow and a long, long way to go. But listening to them talk about the joy that she had about being here was so profound for me. And Bruce, her dad's been out of work for a little while, and a lot of you guys can identify with that. And he told me, he said, you know, I've been wondering and praying, God, why is it taking so long for me to get a job? And 7 months have gone by. Why is it taking this long for me to get a job? And he said, now I understand. I had 7 months to be with my daughter. He said his work takes him out of the country for long periods of time. And so instead of being on some other continent when he got the news about the accident, he actually was home. And instead of being gone for months before Alex's death, he was with her every day. And he just saw the hand of God in it all, and he saw the joy of God in her life. And they had already paid for her spot. I don't think they could maybe afford for both the kids to go to camp right now. And Andrew's a big baseball guy and involved in all that. And the mom said, you know what, we've already paid for this spot, Andrew. I think you should go. And so there's Stan and Andrew, brokenhearted, so proud of his sister. I could see it on his face, and so moved and touched by her life and then taking her spot at camp and having God do great things in his life and in his heart. And so to my new friends, the Rickley family, just I want to honor Alexandria today, and I want to I just want to say what a great privilege it is to have been able to play the tiniest role in her journey to knowing Jesus and walking with him. And I want to encourage you just again today, if you ever hear this in the way that we did at camp, and that is just for you to know that you're going to see Alex again. Her life is not over. In fact, her life really is just going good right now. And just like the psalmist said, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for her. Her life is not cut short. Her life is not going to fall short of any expectation, but her life is going to do exactly what Jesus intended for it to do. And there are about 318 listeners around the world right now who are hearing about your daughter, and in some way her life is encouraging them right now. and encouraging me right now. And so our prayers are with you today, and all of us on this podcast right now are praying for you, people praying for you on every continent right now, knowing that God is a great healer, and there's a long, long road of grieving and mourning, and that is a road that we all should walk, and we should embrace it. No one of us should try to skip over it. It's hard, and it's lonely, and it's tear-filled, and it's heart-wrenching, and it is giant, and it should be. You have lost someone that you loved as much as you can love a human being. But there is healing even in this day, and there is great, great healing in this road because Jesus is walking it with you, and we're all behind you. And, you know, we talked about at camp, and we've talked about in the series we've been doing at Passion City Church called Lift, that God always does a miracle, and that should be our expectation. That we also talked about Matthew 26, and where in the garden after Jesus is arrested, he's prayed, "Father, not my will, but your will." He's knowing the miracle could happen, but he's also knowing that this is the plan. So right in the middle of it, Jesus comes in, you know, with this incredible left turn again. And he says that Jesus said to him, "All who draw the sword will die by the sword. So put away your sword, put it back in its place. Do you not think that I can call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" That's a lot of angels, by the way. That's like 70,000 plus angels, potentially. "But how then," listen to his conclusion, "but how then would the scripture be fulfilled that says it must happen in this way?" So there's Jesus. He's, you know, he's putting it out there. I could intervene and God could intervene. He could do a miracle, but he didn't do a miracle. And a lot of people are going to look at that and they're going to say, oh, it's easy to say past tense that Jesus could have called down 12 legions of angels and God could have intervened and God could have saved the day, but he didn't is the reality. And it sounds a little bit to some people like a cop-out when we keep saying in these moments that God could have done this and God could have done that and God could have chosen to bring this outcome, God could have intervened in this way, but the bottom line is they're saying back to us, but he didn't. And to say that he could have sounds a little bit hollow, and it sounds like false hope for you. The reality is God didn't come through. And in this moment, the angels didn't come. Jesus didn't speak the word. There wasn't an intervention. It didn't go down that way. But when you read through this story, you understand that God did a miracle on this day. Way bigger miracle than just extricating Jesus from the chief priest's guards. Way bigger miracle than just somehow causing that sword to move 3 inches over and split the head wide open of that guard of the chief priest and seeing all those troops just, you know, scatter into the night. God was doing something bigger that day. He was working out a bigger story that day. And it is not a cop-out. It's history, people. It's reality. God could have done a miracle in the garden. When you read through the narrative, he didn't do the miracle. The angels didn't show up. There wasn't 72,000 angels on hand to win the day. But in fact, he did do a miracle that day. And of course, we've got 2,000 years of a vantage point to look back at that and see and understand what God did. But I promise in our lives right now, God is for us. And when we look back at our lives, at these days, at our suffering, our pain, our darkness, at the times where the miracle we prayed for didn't happen, the outcome we hoped for didn't happen, the plan that we really were banking on didn't happen, we're going to see when we look back with that vantage point that God still did a miracle, because that was what he promised to do in our lives. That's what he's committed to in our lives. And maybe the cancer seems like it won the day, or death seems like it won the day, or divorce, or some weakness, or some pressure, or some chain, some brokenness, some hurt, some suffering, some injustice looks like it won the day. But I'm telling you, God is on the case today, and he is for us today. And he was for Alex in that very day, and he did a miracle in that very day, and she instantly saw the face of Jesus and knew in that moment that her life is counted for what matters most. And in that moment, she was taken from West Virginia to the very presence of God, the biggest miracle of all kind of miracles. And that's what was happening in the garden that day. And there were angels on hand, but they weren't trying to protect Jesus from the outcome of the story. They were actually angels on hand who were making sure the story went down the way it was supposed to go down, because that's the word that God had set in motion. It was the path that God had set in motion. Redemption happened right there. The gospel happened right there. Rescue happened right there in that moment in the garden. The greatest miracle that's ever happened on earth and in humanity happened right there in that moment. And so, of course, God could have, but he didn't. But he did. And I just want you to know that that's his promise to you, and that's his promise to me today. And so to the Rickley family again, we're just all for you today. We're praying for you from the four corners right now. Alex is alive, and she is well. We in Christ right now are alive, and we are well. So let's do the one thing that we can all do today. Let's make sure we're counting. Let's make sure the days, the hours, the minutes that we can never reach back for again, let's make sure they count today for the things that matter most. I'll be back with you for our last little segment, and I want to share this incredible story with you on the Passion Podcast. I'll be right back after this from Beautiful Beaches Part 2. Take care. Chosen Generation, one of the highlights of this week at Daytona Beach, Florida. I have to tell you, I kind of went off the map a little bit in the morning session. And, you know, Chris always says, I wish you guys could see from my vantage point and see what I see standing up here on stage. And I'm just about to walk out and do the talk, and Chris is doing Chosen Generation. And there's just unbelievable energy, 6,200 kids, you know, 10,000 plus hands raised. There's incredible passion in the room. You can just see what God's been doing in these days. And I'm thinking, these youth workers have got to see this. These are the heroes of this week. Chris and I are just here to serve them, but they're the real heroes of this week. And the night before in the youth pastor meeting, there'd been about 100 youth workers and youth leaders. And I thought, this is the big stage. I'm just going to call them all up here. So I walk out and I say, okay, change of plans. If you're a youth worker or youth leader, you got 80 seconds to get on the stage with Chris and I. Well, it turns out when you invite people up onto the stage, there are more youth workers and more youth leaders than maybe you had bargained for, and hundreds of youth workers and youth leaders and a few students are now streaming their way up on both sides. It's a really big stage in this venue, but it wasn't big enough for all of them. At the end of the day, Chris is back on Travis's drum riser, and there are youth workers on there. There's youth workers up on Matt's piano and organ riser. There are youth workers standing on the subs down in front of the stage. We push the bicycle rack, and students pull it back, and there's student leaders and student workers all down the floor in front of the subs and everywhere. It was pandemonium. Fantastic. I loved it. It took a little longer than 80 seconds. So thanks for coming up. And then we had Chris just go back and do Chosen Generation again, and we just blew up in the room again. And all these leaders are sitting there getting to look out and see the students that they love so much, these students that they're pouring their lives into day after day after day. And I just turned around, and I loved it, just seeing tears just streaming down these guys' and girls' faces, these men and women's faces. They got to look out and see that viewpoint. Sometimes when you're in the trenches, the viewpoint is different. And I just wanted to see, this is the generation that you're serving. This is the fruit of all your labor. And there's a little clip of it. Somebody posted a little tiny 3 minutes of that from my camera. They're holding up on stage on my Facebook wall. And I don't know if it's on YouTube somewhere that you can just search it out, Chosen Generation, Daytona Beach, on stage with Chris and Louie or whatever, but it's a really beautiful and cool sight. So thank you, all you youth leaders and youth workers, for coming up and making that such a really cool moment for all of us to be a way to put a huge exclamation point on the end of a great weekend, to hear your students just cheer for you and tell you how much they love you. Man, that was so, so cool. And I hope that you can still hear that and are remembering that today. A little bit of a quick restaurant update. I want to share with you really, really fast a letter that I got this week, and then we'll be out of here. Last year, we talked a lot about Aunt Catfish. I got an email after the podcast, Beautiful Beaches Part 1, from Adam, who was just saying, hey, Aunt Catfish is not bad, but if you really want to do Daytona Beach right, here are the places you have to go. So here is a new venture number one. We went to Our Deck Down Under, also local seafood hangout, just across the river, the intercoastal waterway from Aunt Catfish, actually, under the bridge that goes over, I think it's from Port Orange over to Daytona Beach Shores or South Daytona Beach, whatever that's called. So right down under the bridge, Our Deck Down Under. We had a great lunch there. And the verdict is in, at least for me. I think there might be some discrepancy in our crew, but I'm the only one that's doing the podcast today, so I'm the only vote that counts today. And I'm going to go ahead and give the nod to Aunt Catfish. Yes, Aunt Catfish comes through again. I'm giving Aunt Catfish a solid 8.8 on a scale of 1 to 10. And I'll tell you why. Not only is every server cousin somebody, but also there is a fresh baked, all day long being baked cinnamon roll on every plate, not as dessert, but with the meal, mind you. And the cinnamon roll puts it over the top. So the little nuggets of catfish, salt and pepper style, is pretty outrageous. But the cinnamon roll does it in. So we had an incredible meal at Our Deck Down Under. Really, really nice people there. The vibe of sitting outside at Our Deck Down Under, a little cooler than Aunt Catfish. But I'm going to go ahead and give the nod to Aunt Catfish, Adam. And I know you disagree with me there, but that's just kind of the way it came down. But I want to thank you for one of your great tips for us, and that was the daily grind over in Port Orange. And I keep saying Port Orange like I know where that is. I hope that's the name of where we had lunch. But last day, last lunch, daily grind, and it was really, really great. It's in a little strip center, and you don't think it's going to be all that cool or groovy, but it's a hamburger place, and the hamburgers are fantastic. Also got to meet up with a pastor of a church in the area, a really cool guy, and his daughter, his son at the table, one of his staff members at the table. And it's great meeting you guys as well. If you ever hear about the Passion Podcast, I'm pretty sure you never will, but if you ever did, it was great meeting you. And the pastor, by the way, guy, you know, my age, maybe a little younger, maybe a little older, maybe my age, I don't know. But dude is in a sleeveless, you know, tank, a t-shirt, sleeveless t-shirt, board shorts and flip-flops, sunglasses. That's his, he's rolling at lunchtime. So maybe being a pastor in Florida has got some advantages, people. That's all I can say. So, Adam, thanks for the tip on the daily grind. Lord willing, by his grace and mercy, we'll be back at this same time next year. And the daily grind is going to make it into our lunch rotation. So I know it's not all about food, but come on, we got to eat. So might as well enjoy it, right? And so that's the food report from Daytona. I wish I had a whole lot more to say. Adam had a couple other recommendations up on the north side of Daytona Beach, and we didn't make it up there. But Daily Grind definitely is going to be a repeat for us. Daytona Beach is fantastic, people, I'm telling you. Get the family together, get your friends together, your roommates, and come down. Spend a day, a weekend, spend a week, spend a month, spend a year down here, whatever you can work out. If you looking for airbrush, this has got to be the destination for you. If you want to get a t-shirt done, tank top, wife's beater, hat, if you want to get, you know, one of your pets airbrushed, this is the place for you. There's a lot of places to choose from. Some of the best artisans in all of the world are here in Daytona Beach, Florida. And if you want to drive on the beach, you can't do that a lot of places. But if you want to drive on the beach, come on down, put the windows down, take your shirt off, get some Kenny Chesney going as loud as you can on the radio. And, I mean, I'm talking right on the beach. You are driving. So if you got a PT Cruiser, that's going to be a slam dunk every which way around. But come on down. Seriously, you'll love it down here. So I got this letter. Kind of blew me away. And I'll just read it to you. And it's from Margaret. And Margaret, I know I didn't ask your permission to read this, but I'll try to just read the highlights. And Margaret, thank you so much. Incredible, incredible letter. But you guys are going to love this. This is what it's all about. So I'll just read. I'll read along. It says, Pastor Louie, which I love, by the way. My name is Margaret. I am a member of Calvary Baptist Church. Maybe you remember our church from last year at Student Life. Sarah, the pastor's wife, wrote you a letter that you read to everyone. I just want to thank you. And then she says a few other things. Last year, when I first attended camp, I was not a Christian. I had a lost soul and I was not living. But Pastor Josh and now my best friend, his wife Sarah, asked if I would like to join them and their three youth at Student Life. Okay, so parentheses here. They're bringing three kids to camp. You're thinking, okay, that's not much happening there. That's not a real youth ministry when you got three kids. Well, I'll tell you, it is a youth ministry, and it is something happening there. And it turns out God was right in the middle of that little thing, doing some pretty powerful and miraculous things. And Margaret's letter tells us all about that. She goes on to say, I moved down from Connecticut that summer by myself and had nothing better to do that week. That sounds a little bit like another girl I know who wrote me a letter, Ashley. So I said I would love to go without knowing what I was getting into. Chris began to lead worship, and I thought, I've never heard such beautiful and encouraging music before. I began not just singing the words on the screen, but actually feeling and understanding their meaning. Then you came on stage and began speaking. You were referencing your trip to NASA and the space shuttle taking off. God has blessed you with such an amazing gift as a communicator. I never felt connected with God, or I never felt that he could love me, but he used you to speak through and to change my heart. On the Wednesday night session last year, I was one of those standing in the crowd declaring my faith in Jesus Christ! ! I love it. I just added that. It's been 1 year since I've given my life to Christ. It's been the hardest but the best year. I can say that because tonight, and then she goes on to say something about what happened in the session tonight. Going on to the next paragraph. I moved back to Connecticut for college, nervous that not one of my friends was a Christian. I prayed that I would meet at least one follower of Jesus. And during my resident assistant training, I did. My friend named, and then she says his name, I'll just call him B. His name's Bud, but I'll call him B. Together we started the first Bible study our college has had with many regular attenders. We found a great church and reached out to our neighboring college, the Coast Guard Academy. So within 1 year, I went from dead to living. How cool is that? I believed that Jesus would take care of me at school. And now I have three different times I can corporately worship Jesus. In those times when I need help seeking the face of Jesus, I listen to your podcast. So maybe Margaret actually is a podcast listener. Maybe you're out there. Thanks for letting us share this. Now tonight, I sit in the stands listening to you preach. We have 10 girls in our youth group who are finally getting it. Then she talks a little bit about what's going on in among those 10 girls. It's so amazing to see him answer and provide for this most precious plea. Just talking about how God's answering her prayer for these girls is so cool. I want to thank you for bringing Student Life to Daytona Beach. So I didn't bring that there, but thank you to Student Life for bringing Student Life to Daytona Beach and letting us all be a part of it. This city needs 6,000 youths lifting up the name of God. And then she goes on to say, your sister in Christ, Margaret. So Margaret, I just want to say thank you. What an incredible story. That is what it's all about. Jesus is the one who brings us to life, and Margaret is alive. And I don't know, maybe this is a good or bad idea, but Margaret, I would love it if you just shoot us an email if you ever hear this, or if anybody knows Margaret in Connecticut, and it's the same Margaret that left me the letter at Daytona that was with Calvary last year. That would be just one Margaret. But send an email to info@268generation.com and just put in the subject, this is Margaret that wrote the letter to Louie at Daytona Beach. And I would like to, if it's at all possible, it might not be, but I would like for you and this guy that helped you start the Bible study up there to come to Passion 2011 as our guest. And I don't know if that's even a reality or that's something that can happen, but we'll just send us an email, let us know, and we'll talk about it. And thanks for writing. Just praying for you today and praying for the seeds that you're sowing on your campus and for the life that you're bringing to that place and to the Coast Guard Academy as well. God is doing great things, and we're all fired up about it. So I think that's it for us. Man, what a great summer. And it's not even over yet. So much to go, so much cool stuff to happen. If you want to jump into our Passion City Church summer series called Lift, been really cool looking at the songs of ascent out of the Psalms, then you can find that at PassionCityChurch.com. The messages are there you can watch, or you can download them actually on the Passion City Church podcast on iTunes. Just click over to that. And we love for you to be resourced and built up, challenged by the things that God's sharing. It's been a phenomenal summer for us at Passion City Church. We passed through our midsummer price increase for Passion 2011, had a huge response for Atlanta, particularly. Fort Worth still kind of a ways off in the distance next April, but lots of people staking their place for Atlanta. The next price increase isn't until October, so you've got time to get back to school, get your crew together, organize, and you do not want to miss Atlanta. It's going to be phenomenal time, and all you guys out in the Southwest, we're looking forward to seeing you next April in Fort Worth, Texas. So thanks for being a part of the podcast today. Thank you, Daytona Beach, Florida, for being such a cool place in the world. Thank you, Student Life, for letting me be a part of this week. And to all you students, any of you listening to the podcast, you youth leaders, any of you that were here and a part of this, thank you for letting me just come alongside you for these days and serve just briefly in the lives of these kids that you love so much. I love it. And thank God for the opportunity. Like I said before, Lord willing, we'll be back here next summer. Same week, same place, same God, same life. So thanks for being a part. Last thing I want to leave you with today is it's all about Jesus. He is the name, and he is the life, the first and the last, the living one. He was dead, he said, but I am alive forevermore. I hold the keys to death, and I hold the keys to hell. So let's make his name famous today. Let's think about and lift our eyes up to him today. Lift our hands, our hope, our expectation up to Jesus today. Thanks for being with us on the Passion Podcast. I look forward to seeing you next time. Take care.